You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
This is a thoroughbred like Clydesdale. This is a 6'2", 220, 21-year-old.
I don't think Clydesdale is the word you wanted, but
Thoroughbred.
It's the same thing. They're both horses. Yes. The point is he's a horse. I could have just said horse.
Clydesdale's a little slower, I think.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Scott MacArthur for Brian Hayes, hour number two of Overdrive. Jeff O-Dog O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. I still can't. I can't call it the Scotty Mac Show.
It is. You gotta stop saying I'm in for Brian Hayes. The guy's gone.
So he's gone,
dude. Scotty, it's like when you're injured, you're at risk of somebody. He's gone.
The Scotty Mac Show, featuring the Overdrive Boys.
Wow.
Something like
that. No, it's the Scotty Mac Show with O-Dog and Noodles.
Okay.
Special guests.
All right. I'm the invited guest. I don't feel like I can take over without permission.
Dude, it's dog eat dog. You got to work for yourself. You never know if you're good. They'll tell him to go to hell and not come back.
Okay, all right. Should I come in with a billy club next week, like Nancy Kerrigan, and just go for Hayes's meniscus again
just
or something like that?
Chop him at the knees.
We've already predicted. He flies back Sunday from London.
For Monday.
What kind of attitude do you think he's going to have on Monday?
Well, he doesn't like coming back from vacation anyway.
No,
right,
he's going
to
be.
He doesn't like coming back to work after vacation.
Right, that first day back, it's like don't approach the bear.
He's going to be Lieutenant Dan on New Year's.
He's going to be.
He's going to have an attitude. He's going to be miserable, and I'm just saying, be ready for Monday as well.
So you know the other thing, and Ray Ferraro will join us in a few minutes here, and then Marley Rivera of ESPN from Fenway Park to tee up the World Series. The other thing that happens when Hayes isn't here, and it could be because of vacation or he's sick or he injures his knee, is that something big goes down.
Yeah.
So you remember that day in June of, what was it, 2016? Well, yeah, because I was still doing baseball. So I get a phone call from Jeff McDonald or somebody at like 11 in the morning. Hayes is sick. Can you come in, do Overdrive? Sure, no problem, whatever. So we're prepping the show, getting ready. I'm trying to get my head around doing a show when I've just been baseball. And at 3:30, Hall for Larson, Stamkos announces he's staying in Tampa Bay.
And PK. And wasn't it PK got traded?
PK for Weber.
Weber. In 23 minutes, something like that. Isn't it? It's like the most action.
22 minutes that
changed the hockey world. Something crazy. Like I can't remember what they called it.
It was insane. And then Hayes went away again at some point, and something else happened. It wasn't as big, and obviously because I can't remember it.
Yeah.
But stuff keeps happening when Hayes isn't here. So I've thrown the poll question up at Scotty Mac Thinks, and it's been retweeted by Overdrive's account. With Hayes away, which breaking sports story is definitely going to happen because he's on vacation? So the four options are Nylander signs, Nylander's traded, the Blue Jays hire a manager, or Kawhi signs an extension.
I got it.
Last one's not happening.
Exactly.
But I'm starting to get, I will say this about Kawhi, I feel like a person in a relationship where I'm like, I can't get attached. I can't do it.
Really?
I'm going to watch every game, and I'm going to, like, already I'm like, man. You could see how polished his game is and how many
He's friggin' good.
Yeah.
He's a very good
And he's
player.
Got the range. It's like, you know, Kevin Durant's tall, lanky, long arms. It seems like they can shoot it from a distance where it's like a little flip shot for everybody else. Like, that's how good they are. But I can't get attached because I'm watching it. I'm like, man, this is really cool. And I'm hearing other guys around the league, top five player in the league, which I don't really think if you want to go through the players and discuss the top five. I don't know if he's in that, but...
He is when he's fully healthy. Oh, he could be, absolutely.
Okay, Scotty, so there's LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry.
James Harden.
Harden, yeah.
I mean, Kawhi when he's at his healthiest.
Maybe he's five.
Maybe a rung or two below, yeah. But
it's impressive.
But to pick up on the analogy, I mean, this could be
I can't get that attached because I'm like, this guy's so good. And if he just says, you know what, Toronto, I gave you a run, maybe got you to the finals, maybe sniffed around the finals, I'm out of here. I'll hate the guy's guts.
Yeah.
I'll hate his guts.
But why would you hate his guts if he took you to the promised land.
Like, oh, hey, if he wants to win and take me there, I'll be like, you could go do whatever you want. I don't care.
Like, if they win the Eastern Conference and lose the NBA Finals, would you? Could you look at it to extend the analogy?
I just
like
take it
a
personally.
Fling that was great. You look back 20 years from now, you're like, man, that was a hell of a run we had.
But Kawhi. The thing is, as a fan, yeah. and you're watching the Toronto sports scene, you're thinking, you took me there. Stay and let's finish the job. Which, who knows is gonna if that would ever happen, but... I don't want to get too attached where I'm like, man, this is awesome. Buy a jersey.
You're going to get attached because he's a very good player. And, you know, no slight on DeMar. I mean, DeMar's a very good player, too.
It's yeah, just but Kawhi defensively, it's just...
It's another level.
And so, even Danny Green.
He's a very good player, too.
You know?
We had him in studio. He's outstanding.
Yeah, he's got his own pod now and everything.
He seems like a pretty cool dude. Like, that's the type of guy you'd want to have a beer with and hear some stories.
Here's the other thing. Like last May, we're sitting here. We wanted to purge Ibaka.
Yeah.
Like, see ya, Serge. Now he's back to being Serge Ibaka from his days in Oklahoma City, his very best days. Serge Ibaka, and like, what are we talking about after four games?
Yeah,
I mean, how much can we know? But he's playing the five predominantly now. He's a center. So he's not being asked to defend as wide, which I think was some of what he felt was causing him to struggle. But in a really small sample size, he looks like the old guy.
Yeah.
When this team puts it all together, anything is possible. And I'm not saying they're going to beat Golden State in the finals, but what I am saying is we could be having some pretty good basketball in this city late May, early June, probably against the Boston Celtics. And then it's a coin flip. And if it's for the right to go get your ass kicked by Golden State, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because we're watching Steph Curry and Draymond and KD in this city in mid-June. I think people take that.
I'd take it. And I'm not even the biggest basketball fan, but I would love to see the Raptors go deep in the playoffs. They've had amazing regular seasons. Let's see what, you know, them go... With LeBron out of Cleveland, it's wide open. Boston's still a very good team, but it's wide open. Go for it. And if he leaves at the end of the season, so be it. Deal with it. This is the, I think from a fan.
The ultimate all in. Like just, but might you as well sell the farm at the deadline too and stack it.
You're right. Go all in. But don't worry about being attached or not attached. Deal with the loss if and when he leaves. If he doesn't, then all you're worried about You're looking ahead to something that may or may not happen. You're worried about the future when we can't tell what the future is. So I wouldn't embrace what you got right now, because maybe he falls in love with the city and he signs and you're sitting there going, don't want to get too attached because I'm not sure if he's going to stay here long term. Dig in.
Well, I say in any sport that's pretty much American-based, we obsess in this city over the fact that the American stars aren't going to want to come and stay here.
Yeah.
Right? If it's baseball... Or if it's basketball.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, but you got to get them here, acquire them via trade, and then hope that they want to stay. They have to experience this place first. Figure out that customs is not that big a deal.
Right.
Figure out that having different colored money is not that big a deal. Figure out that Toronto's no colder than Chicago or New York City in the middle of January. And then on the flip side with the hockey players, and John Tavares went a long way to nipping this in the bud, but it was, well, the hometown guys never want to. So with the American-based sports, they never want to come here because they don't understand us. And then with the Canadian-based sport, hockey, well, the local guys don't want to be here because they understand us too well.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to the individual. And Tavares is, to me, an outlier because he's a private person. He knows how big this machine is here in Toronto. And he took a leap of faith because he sees what's around the corner, potentially. I mean, this team is pretty good on paper. They got to put it together. But he wants to be a big part of that. I think that was a leap of faith given, and I don't know John Tavares very well, but just given the way that he projects on his personality, he doesn't want a lot of limelight. He just goes and plays hockey and is really good at it. And, you know, Drew Doughty, I think, would have been... I mean, he even came out recently and was like, yeah, I was messing with the Kings, you know, saying that. But I would like to see Toronto do well when they're not playing against us. He even said that. Like, he's a kid from this area. He gets it. But you will see that. And if the Leafs continue to build a winning program, there will be other guys that want to be a part of it and at a discount. And that comes back to, you know,
number 29.
William Nylander. But it's also going to come back to Austin Matthews and to Mitch Marner and to anybody else that has to. Jake Gardner, that guy's name has not come up once. Are we all just assuming he's gone? Can't afford him? Don't want him? That's all people need right now are puck-moving defensemen. Yeah, he's got his warts, like every other puck-moving defenseman in the National Hockey League. Nobody's even brought up the fact that he's a pending unrestricted free agent.
What's his number out there on the market?
That's the problem. Yeah, there's a difference because if I'm looking at guys like Mike Green, and they're in the 5 to 6 range, he's probably six. You know, he's a six probably
every
day of the week.
There's no such thing as that until somebody decides what they want to pay him. Yeah. That's what the number is.
But right. I think the Leafs have to. That's why it comes back to when we were in the 4 o'clock hour with Duthie, talking about like a guy like Dermott. You need your young players in house on entry level deals to push a guy out that is making a lot of money or potentially have a lot of money on his plate, so that you can fit everyone into your cap structure.
But this is what is so difficult, especially, and I always go off of the arguments you end up in on Twitter, which is never a healthy direction to take it down. But
right.
It's like people just work off the assumption, well, this guy will step up. I'm like, okay, so if Jake Gardner walks,
yeah,
what are we working off of? We're working off the idea that Travis Dermott, still on his entry-level deal, is going to step up and eat a lot of those
That's
minutes.
That's what you're hoping.
We're working off, I'm not saying what Kyle Dubas is working off of. This is for the purposes of our discussion. We're working off the idea that a Timothy Liljegren is just going to be ready.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so if you are right in your Stanley Cup window, do you want to be apportioning a lot of minutes to defensemen? I don't care how good they are. It's a lot to ask. Defensemen who are 19, 20, 21 years old.
Yeah.
That's a tough, tough ask.
It is. And that's why I think there's a lot of plays at work right now for the general manager, put it that way.
Yeah, when he's not traveling to hockey games in the Northeast.
That's what he's doing,
That's how he rolls. Ray Ferraro with us on Overdrive, and he joins us, as he always does, on the Maple Toyota Hotline.
Ray, welcome to the Scotty Mac Show with Noodles and O-Dog.
Finally, you guys have a host that's organized.
And somewhat caring.
Concerned.
Welcoming, not the way that other guy is.
Yeah, you know what? We call him our favorite side piece. It's a nice little getaway.
I'm honored.
You know, Scotty, I mean, the one thing about this is, like, the bar is low. I think you can skip over this.
We told them last segment, the hell with that other guy. If you're good, you might stay here.
Yeah. And, Ray, it isn't even necessarily on performance over the next 4 days, because I'm coming with the Billy Club next Monday. Hayes will be back. He's going to get galooly'd.
Well, he's
I'll play dirty.
But you know what? I'll jump in here, too. Ray, let me just lay this scenario out for you. Brian Hayes has a wedding. The wedding's on Saturday, right? He's flying home from London Sunday. And he's going to be expected to work on Monday. What kind of mood do you think he's going to be in?
There's no chance. He's not going to be in Monday.
No.
No focus, tired.
Yeah, you and him will get into an argument over something.
Yeah, because and just think, he's going to be jamming fish and chips into his gullet for the next 4 days. No chance.
Yeah.
Ray, we had Duthie in the last segment or the first segment of the show, and we kind of had the discussion. I know you got to do call-ins all over the country. The Nylander, it's old, isn't it? Like, I'm sick of talking about it. I know I'm just asking you about it, but enough's enough, isn't it? I know everyone says, oh, this is a big week, but this is what happens. It's going to be, this is a big week, and then next week's a big week, then the week after that's the biggest week, and then ultimately the week after that is the most gigantic week, because that's the last week of November.
This is so much like the lockouts and the strikes that have been in the past. Like, you know, if it's not done by November 1st, it's not going to get done, and then, here's the drop-dead date of the season. No, but really, the drop-dead date's farther on. It's all the same. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, the insider guys, they're digging away and they're trying to find stuff. Most people don't have a clue what's going on anyway, no matter what they think, because unless you're talking to either William Nylander or Lewis Gross or Kyle Dubas, and they would be telling you, which of course they won't, how the hell do you know? You don't know. We all have an idea, oh, it'll take this much money or this many years, or they'll have to trade this guy to do that. It's all speculative because the information is locked down.
So you didn't read into the fact that Nylander didn't skate today in Austria? I mean, I know everyone's trying to connect dots. That's ridiculous. That maybe he went out for some drinks or just wanted to take a day off, like you're allowed to. You don't have to skate every day that you're not playing.
No, Noodles, remember when we were locked out and we skated and there was, you know, we were 5 days a week, and then the next week we were 4 days a week because we're like, well, this is stupid. We're not getting anywhere. Let's do 4 days a week.
Yeah, I remember that. And I also remember we played a football game in the park and I rolled my ankle.
The workouts quickly deteriorated.
I ended up by myself with Rod Brindamore bag skating, and I just looked at him one day. I go, dude, I'm going to Florida golf and I'm not doing this anymore.
And did you fall farther behind? No, not a chance.
Well, I fell really far behind, Ray. I was probably the only guy. You know when like Mario flew into New York?
Yes.
And apparently some big announcement was going to happen. I might have been the only guy that was watching at a pub thinking, you better not say there's a season, you bastard. Because if you do, I can't play. I can't play.
But let me tell you, can I ever hit a 7-iron right now?
Oh, I could hit a 7-iron, but I jumped up and down in joy when you said no season.
Were you slightly heavier at that? Like, did you
just everything? It was just it was just golf and like just dart. It was not even anything to do. No training.
Yeah, no training.
Nothing.
Not
like I did the prototypical 3 days a week, ride the bike for half an hour, do some bench, do some squats. I'm like, this is not NHL training.
It's so funny,
Ray. With
I don't see it as a big deal that he wasn't there.
Who cares?
I mean, here's the thing. I haven't asked you, Ray. I'm sure you've been asked by 1,700 people, so make me the 1,701st. What's the end game here for William Nylander? Because, I mean, I always approach it like this. Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment's got endless dollars. So if it was a free-wheeling, free-spending society, you give Matthews whatever, you give Marner whatever, you give Nylander whatever. If you overpay him slightly and he never performs to the contract, it's a wash. But that isn't the world we live in. This is the one league of the big four with a true hard cap. So, you know, Kyle Dubas can go to William Nylander and his people and say, look, this is what we can afford to give you. And Nylander can be pissed off about it, but sometimes timing sucks. And the fact that Nylander comes up after they, perhaps surprisingly, sign John Tavares, so suddenly there's $11 million extra dollars on the books, and right before Matthews and Marner come up, and they get to go to RFA for the first time with 3 years in the league instead of 2 years plus a handful of games. I get it. It sucks for Nylander, but at some point, he's caught in this situation, and he's going to have to just understand that.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to sign here.
I agree. I understand that.
So
but
the end game is to make a deal that gives him a contract that he is comfortable with, that he can live with, like that he's like, yeah, okay. Not one that you sign it and 2 seconds later you're pissed off that you signed it, and then you got a grumpy Gus all over the place. Like there's nothing to say. I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to him, but why does the end game have to be, okay, I'm going to take a crappy contract to stay in Toronto?
No, okay, well then, I get what you're saying. I just, unless there's stuff we don't know, I suppose he's been talking to other teams, but is somebody actually going to step up?
He's in a terrible spot. He's got no leverage. But the point that I think we should be understanding is that he's not just going to cave to take a contract to make the Maple Leafs happy. That's
right.
Would have already been done.
Right. Well, that's not the expectation, but he also has to understand that there's not a lot higher they can go.
But that's not his problem.
Yeah.
Maybe the answer is they have to make a choice between William Nylander and somebody else on the roster. The Blackhawks have been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Like maybe the choice comes between William Nylander and Connor Brown, or William Nylander and Nazem Kadri. Yeah. But there's other options. Noodles, I just got on. Noodles was just finishing up his point about there's lots of different things likely that Kyle Dubas has to look at.
Right.
And it's not just this year. It's further down the line. And it all is interwoven. And so they're looking at options, I would assume, that we haven't even really kicked around. And some of them might be, how valuable do we think William Nylander is? So if we get him signed, can we afford to have all these other guys? Or do we need to move somebody else?
Yeah, that's where I had talked about Jake Gardner. Nobody's even talking about him. And right now, a premium in the National Hockey League is puck-moving defensemen. So you might have to have another thought about just... I think around this market, it just hasn't been brought up. But this is a guy who I think would have a lot of value throughout the league, and I'm sure the Maple Leafs value him, but they've got to put a number on him, too, and fit him into a cap structure.
See, I just... No matter what they say, I mean, I was okay with math until they started putting letters in it. X plus Y did not equal Z for me. That just didn't work. But the numbers, I was okay. I can count. And I don't see how all the numbers add up to just under the salary cap. If you're looking at an extension for Nylander, if you're looking at an extension for Gardner, because Gardner's got all the cards. He's going to get, whether people think he's good or not, Gardner's going to have multiple teams drooling all over him in July. He's going to make a lot of money. And maybe the Leafs can't afford to keep him. And if they can't afford to keep him, you can dream about Timothy Liljegren and say that he's going to fill his shoes. Or you can look and go, well, they're kind of screwed. Because now they have to replace Gardner on a defense that isn't great anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Ray, the other challenge is, and I, you know, with Draisaitl and Edmonton being another example, all these comparisons to the Blackhawks, to the Kings, to the Canucks who almost got there, even the Penguins, those don't count. Because the Blackhawks still to this day, well, Hossa's gone, but Duncan Keith is playing on this ridiculous 13, 14-year contract with an AAV of like 5+. This guy's a $9, $10 million defenseman back in his heyday.
Yeah.
But you had these backsliding contracts. The Canucks did it with Luongo. The Kings did it when they acquired Richards and Jeff Carter in separate deals. Like those CBA machinations, or whatever you want to call them, are not there anymore for teams like the Leafs or teams like the Oilers or whoever, who are now trying to build dynasties, for lack of a better way to put it. Like, you can't get away with stuff the way that those pre-2012, 2013 CBA teams did.
Well, of course, it's the 7-year and 8-year limit. That's what you got on the contract. You've got a cap. You've got to fit it underneath. And you've got to be creative. You mentioned it kind of, you know, in passing, but it was a critical decision for the Leafs to decide to spend $11 million on John Tavares, because that alters all of their plans going forward. Or no, it doesn't alter. Well, it did. It altered all of their plans. It also altered all of our plans, whatever we thought was going to happen.
Right.
Because you've just chunked $11 million out of your salary cap to John, and then you've... Whatever you think Matthews is coming in for, it's not less than Tavares.
No.
No.
And so then you've got whatever Marner's going to come in at. And holy smokes, that $11 million would have been handy somewhere else. But now that you have them, who are the guys most likely that they're not going to be able to keep? And that's the comparison to the Blackhawks, is that the Blackhawks had a stable of really talented players that all of a sudden they went, we can't keep all these guys. Remember their first Stanley Cup? They couldn't even hold the flag up, like the team banner, the next year when they were presenting the cup. They had like 7 guys. Everybody else got pitched overboard.
Right. Buffalo's
a mess, though.
Well, and they had the CBA mess up with the fax machine.
Qualifying offers. They couldn't even get
the QOs.
Right.
Those guys had to be signed for like $3 million or whatever. Like, remember they messed that up?
Yep.
And that was a typo error. Not even a typo error. That was... Like,
there's a 5 paperwork error.
Yeah, paperwork, right? Error. I know we got to go. We should discuss at some point what would be a win for Nylander, and to me, what's a loss for Nylander? If he comes with a bridge deal at 2 years at 5.5, then what was all the time wasted for? You know what I mean?
Well, then it would be that
maybe that wasn't offered or wasn't available.
Right.
Right? Like, that's the other thing, Noodles, don't you think? Like, we don't know exactly what's been offered in what order. You know, certainly nobody has said anything. Oh, he's been offered X number of dollars at this number of years. We can all sort of kind of guess, but it's pretty certain he's not, you know, he's not looking under $6 million. I mean, it, from his eyes, you know, he must be like, wait a minute. How about that contract? How about this contract? How about me? I get 60 points the last 2 years.
All right, Ray.
It's pretty clear. It's not easy.
We gotta let you go. But before we do, your ball team going to win a World Series again, or are the Dodgers going to get them?
No. Five games.
Five? Oh, it's not going back to Fenway.
No.
That's a confident guy right there. Okay.
No, well, I think it's like anything. If you say it firmly enough, then everybody, then maybe you can convince yourself. But, yeah, I'm going to say five games.
All right. Well, I'm with you. I think the Red Sox are going to win.
Thanks a lot for joining the Scotty Mac Show with Noodles and O-Dog.
I thought it was an exceptional hit.
That's what everyone's saying.
Clearly, it was defined. It was organized. It was orderly. So different than the other guy. What's his name? Cliff?
Don't even know. Don't even care.
No yelling and screaming.
You know what?
There was a great line. Lenny Dykstra said there was this baseball player, Vaughn Hayes. Yes. And Vaughn Hayes got traded. And a reporter asked him and said, hey, Lenny, what do you think of the trade? They traded Hayes. He said, great deal. Who did we get? I'm thinking the same thing here. Hayes is in London. Great deal. Who did we get? Scotty. Fantastic.
Vaughn Hayes over in London right now. We'll do it again tomorrow, Ray. Thanks.
Later on.
Ray Ferraro joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Find great deals on the Toyota RAV4 during Maple Toyota's 2018 clear out. Finance and lease rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com. Bobby Mack in the 6 o'clock hour. ESPN's Marley Rivera from Fenway Park. Game one of the World Series tonight. We tee it up. It's O-Dog and Noodles on the Scotty Mac Show.
Oh, it's the Scotty Mac Show with Noodles and O-Dog.
All right. I'll have this down by Friday, just in time to get the punt. TSN 1050. Let's see if I get this right. It's the Scotty Mac Show with O-Dog and Noodles. Bam.
You've got it.
Only took me an hour and a half. Got three more days of it for the rest of the week with Hazy over in London. The World Series gets started tonight. And this is a pretty epic matchup. The Dodgers and Red Sox haven't met in the World Series since 1916. So obviously this is the first time they have since the Dodgers moved to L.A. like 60 years ago. And L.A.'s back in the World Series for a second consecutive year. Dodgers have been a perennial playoff team. The Red Sox are gunning for their fourth World Series title in like the last 14, 15 years. Marley Rivera of ESPN, ESPN Deportes, is at Fenway Park, first pitch like 2.5 hours away. Marley, what's up?
Hey, Scotty. We are drying up over here. It was actually quite a, they canceled BP, which I thought was a little bit premature, given the fact that it's scheduled to start at 6 o'clock, the batting practice. But yeah, it was quite a downpour, but we're ready to play some baseball.
All right. Okay, so you join me every Wednesday on the actual Scotty Mac Show in the 2 o'clock hour, and the last time you were on with me, we predicted the ALCS, and I told you it wasn't going back to Fenway because Houston was going to take it in 4 or 5. Well, I was half right. It wasn't going back to Fenway. What the hell happened there? I didn't think the Red Sox had the relief pitching to get it done, but I was obviously wrong.
Well, I think that it's one of those things. We always talk about this. The best team doesn't always win the World Series. The best team doesn't always advance to the league championship. It's just the team that gets hot, and not only hot, the team that puts it together at the right time. You know, as you know, back in April, I said the Red Sox, you know, would win the World Series. So I'm looking pretty good right now. But what happens is that when I saw that bullpen too, especially the last 2 weeks of the season when their ERA was close to like 7, then of course I kind of said, "Oh my God, this is going to be another Houston Astros," which is exactly what happened last year. They just outhit everybody, but they really couldn't pitch. And then you looked at the Houston pitching, and it was just so solid that you're like, "Oh, how are the Red Sox going to get away from this?" And I mean, I think that the relievers have surprised us all, Scott. I don't know that this is something that we expected. And of course, Alex Cora surprised us all today, putting Drew Pomeranz on the roster.
Do you think the way the game is played now, especially in the playoffs, if you like break down the series, if anyone's going to have a hot take or decide the series, wouldn't you say it's whichever bullpen can get the job done? It's like starting pitching. I don't care the star level of the guy that's on the mound. It seems like it's all down to the bullpen every game.
But unfortunately, I couldn't agree with you more, Jeff, in theory, but it didn't happen in practice last year, right? The Yankees had a superior, far superior bullpen to the Houston Astros, which was a bullpen that was just simply awful, and they still won the World Series. So I think when you have that kind of offense is the only way that you can get away with difficulties in the bullpen. But certainly, you know, common wisdom and history tells us that what the bullpen can accomplish certainly most of the time leads, you know, as far as the team can go.
I feel, Marley, like we're being robbed of the Kershaw-Price matchup because it's Kershaw and Sale tonight. I want to see Kershaw-Price, the battle of the guys with terrible playoff reputations that are partly unfair but are out there, right? I mean, it's all we talk about. Yeah.
But Scotty, it's not like Sale has had any, you know, sort of success in the playoffs either. Let's be very clear.
Well, and who knows?
Very poorly in the playoffs last year, and we know what he's done this season, you know, with barely getting through four innings in his last outing. So, I mean, I know you're not getting the historical context of winning one, you know, one start in 11 tries or whatever it was that David Price did. But I think this is, you know, this is the lefty-lefty matchup that we haven't seen in a really, really long time. Like, maybe when you were watching Sandy Koufax in 1955.
Yeah, well, I remember those days. Not at all. Yeah, well, I just, because to me, I look at it and I think, you know, did David Price get over a hump pitching in Houston the way that he did? I don't know if there was a mental block for him. He had thrown some pretty good playoff games in the past. I was reminding people how good he was in Game 2 in 2015 in Kansas City for the Blue Jays until everything fell apart there in the seventh inning when Ryan Goins called Jose Bautista off. That pop-up just fell, and then everything fell apart. I mean, he has had some good outings, but he there was no pressure. He'd been warming up the night before in the bullpen. He was on short rest. It was like everything was lined up for him to fail. Maybe that took the pressure off. No expectation. Just go out there and fling it.
I think that you're right about that, and I agree with you. Obviously, we both have known David Price for a really long time, and when he was with Tampa Bay, one of the things that you can tell about Price, and will be very telling tonight, it's his rhythm. As we well know, when he was with Tampa, he was one of the pitchers who take like the slowest. I mean, the reason why pitching clock existed is because of pitchers like David Price. And now when he gets in rhythm, it really doesn't exist. He actually pitches quite quickly. And it's something that I have seen, especially since the All-Star break, when he became, you know, the de facto ace for the Red Sox, which is something that people forget. Chris Sale, I mean, really, the last 2 months of the season, they didn't contribute much to those 108 wins. So I get your point. It'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he's gotten over that hump. But I don't know. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow night.
With Marley Rivera of ESPN, do the Dodgers have enough offense? Which is a weird question to ask because if you look at their lineup, they've got some big-name players there. Machado, who's obviously really familiar with the AL East from all his years in Baltimore. But do they have enough offense to keep up with this Red Sox team that can mash? Because I don't know if there's anybody better, not named Trout, than Betts, J.D. Martinez, and the lefty hitters like Benintendi. I mean, the Red Sox can just run it at you 1-9.
I think that you're right about that. I think that that's going to be, you know, what it comes down to. Of course, and I really appreciate Jeff's point because we have to talk about the pitching and we have to, you know, talk. If Chris Sale gives up a couple of home runs in the first inning, then certainly, you know, the Dodgers are going to be off to a great start and going to have a nice cushion. But the offense is certainly going to be very important this series. And when you talk about the Red Sox, Mookie Betts, despite being, I mean, beyond incredible defensively, really hasn't performed very well offensively. So I think it's one of those moments where you're really kind of waking up a sleeping lion or sleeping tiger. And I do think that Mookie Betts, who crushes lefties, I mean, he hit for about 370, I think it's 368 this season against lefties. So it'll be interesting what he can do about that, you know, against that Kershaw curveball, Scott. But I don't. To answer, you know, a very long answer, to a short ending? Absolutely not. I don't think they have enough.
With Marley Rivera of ESPN, ESPN Deportes from Fenway Park, it's the Red Sox and Dodgers game one of the World Series tonight. Our own Scotty Mitchell, TSN's Blue Jays reporter, Marley, posted a piece to TSN.ca yesterday detailing the three finalists for the Jays managerial job. So Brandon Hyde is the Chicago Cubs bench coach. Rocco Baldelli, who was drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays in the early 2000s, and people thought this guy was going to be the next big thing, and then injuries derailed his career. He's into coaching now, 37 years old. He's one of the finalists. And then you've got Joe Espada, who is the bench coach of the Houston Astros.
Man, they're getting away from those grizzled veterans, aren't they?
Oh, but every team. Every team. Huh?
And I appreciate it. It's like they got to have a guy that just communicates with these young guys, take care of the analytics from up above, and then create relationships and make it work.
And they don't have to pay him $5 million a year.
Yeah.
That's another part of it, too. No, that's the truth, though,
or
Marley,
I
right?
Think he's making $650,000 or something in Boston.
It's crazy.
That's it.
What do you know about any of those three?
Well, you know, just to put it on the record, and you know this, Joe Espada is a friend, and it is one of those things that I'm certainly rooting for him, and it isn't only a personal thing. I believe that Joe Espada can be an outstanding manager, and I believe he can do that with this young organization that the Blue Jays have, especially with a player like Vlad Jr. I think that having the ability to communicate with a player that is that young, and actually we can just use the example of Rafael Devers today, who at 21 years old, there's only like five Red Sox who've ever started a World Series game, you know, under 22. He turns 22 tomorrow. So, you know, to see what Alex Cora has done with Rafael Devers, and a lot of that has to do with being able to communicate in his own language. And that is something that is going to be very important for Vlad Jr. in his development. Now, that doesn't mean that the other two guys are not capable, especially Rocco Baldelli, who I know very well, covered him as a player, and who is an outstanding coach who the players really, really like. He is one of those, you know, one of those guys that, he's one of the guys. And I think that is also a necessity in this kind of new wave of new managers. So, but, you know, on the record, I would say that Joe Espada would be a great fit for the Blue Jays, especially because of all the work that he did with developing players and with analytics when he was an assistant to GM Brian Cashman in the New York Yankees.
I'll ask you both, don't you think that that language, being able to communicate with the Latin players, a player like Vlad coming up, how important he's going to be for the Blue Jays, that might be an X factor in making the decision? Just that one player alone. I know it's not all about one player, but when it's such an important piece, communication with that one player could be an X factor in choosing the next manager.
Absolutely. I think the X factor is a perfect way to put it. I don't think that it should be the deciding factor, right? This should be only about your abilities as a manager. It should only be who the, you know, who Blue Jays, you know, front office believes can do the best in rebuilding this entire team. But yes, I mean, the fact that, Joe Espada can speak Spanish and can relate to Vlad Guerrero Jr., it could be very special, but it doesn't disqualify any of the other candidates.
Well, and it's also important, Marley, right, that, this new manager, and of course he will because he's the hire from this front office, but buys into high performance, buys into some of the advanced analytics that Ross Atkins and that front office come to trust. And that's not really anything different than any other organization that's operating in this day and age.
And especially, you know, when Joe Espada, who came, you know, who went from the Yankees to the Houston Astros, and the Houston Astros are so analytics-driven that I think that the fact that he was the bench coach last year of the kind of team, you know, who seems to be churning out Puerto Rican Major League managers, but because obviously we see Alex Cora now, and now Joe Espada being in the conversation, you know, it certainly has to be a forte. It's a new way of, seeing baseball. It doesn't mean that you don't have guts and you don't have, you know, instinct and all these things, but balancing that with all the advanced analytics is very important. And I believe, actually, especially these three candidates, are the three of them are very talented in that aspect.
Marley, you know you're going to get radioed. We call it getting radioed up here in Canada. Joe Espada is the next manager of the Blue Jays. Marley Rivera said it. It's got to be true.
Just like,
I didn't say that he was. I think that he should be.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, when you dropped John Farrell's name 3 weeks ago, that got some buzz.
I did it on purpose, though. You know why I did that. I just wanted to get a real bit, you know, a rise out of you.
Yeah,
get
us stop talking hockey for 2 minutes. You did. Listen, always fun. We'll do it again very soon. Enjoy the game tonight.
Absolutely, and we'll see. We'll chat very soon, Scott, and thank you, Jeff, for having me. And we'll see if we have a fabulous game. It'll be nice to see a great pitching matchup finally in this World Series.
Marley, it was my first time getting a chance to chat with you. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
Marley Rivera of ESPN, ESPN Deportes, down there at Fenway Park. Game one tonight, Kershaw for the Dodgers, Sale for the Red Sox.
Really enjoyed that interview. She's energetic.
She's fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic.
And
he's now a regular on the Scotty Mac with Noodles and O-Dog show.
There you go. Exactly. You see, if you hire me, all my guests come with.
Just you've got the job.
Load up.
You're hired, and as Donald Trump would say to other people on his TV show, you're fired.
All right, Bobby Mack in the 6 o'clock hour, and we got to give you that Name That Leaf giveaway. Haven't done that yet. I promise we'll get to it. It's Scott MacArthur. Let me correct myself. It's the Scotty Mac Show with O-Dog and Noodles, TSN 1050. Matty Ice says Mac-O-Roni noodles and cheese.
Mac-O-Roni noodles and cheese.
Callum writes in, how about Tumac, MacArthur and McLennan, and Biggie? O-Dog, Tumac and Biggie.
Who's Biggie, though? Me?
Well, yeah.
Tumac and Biggie coming up in 2 minutes.